Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Is that fantastic? Could we give them a great hand for being involved in that? Wow. I want to just briefly say thank you to Pastor Bruce and Carol and Goti and all of you that were involved in creating this discipleship tool in this church. It's very rare that you find a tool like this in a church that equips you to this degree. And in our crazy world right now, I mean, you might think it's a little bit crazy right now. One of the greatest things that we could have in our soul is a deep understanding and knowledge and commitment to the things that lie in Scripture. Because then we become able, we become equipped to deal with anything. So I want to briefly give you a charge, and I know there's many of you around here, so I'm going to try to include you, but I'm speaking to them, but I'm actually speaking to you too. So when I want to do a call and response thing. And so when I point to you, I'll give you instructions, and I want you to say it back to me, because I only have two things I want to charge you with tonight, to really challenge you with tonight. And these would apply in all of us. I want to give a backdrop for the text that I'm about to read. The Apostle Paul was had excommunicated a man from his team. He had lost a few members of his team. Demas, he had lost Demas. Demas didn't finish. Everybody say finish. Demas didn't finish, walked away from Jesus. Hymenaeus was close, and he was in Paul's team. He didn't finish. Would you say finish? Finish. He did not finish. He walked away from Jesus. Philetus did not finish. He was close to Paul. He was on Paul's team. He didn't finish. Say finish. Finish. Alexander was a heretic. He blasphemed the Holy Spirit, and Paul excommunicated him. And Alexander did not finish. Say finish. I want to talk about finishing. In life, when you stand at an altar and you say, I do, many people don't finish. When you decide to engage a career path, the big question ahead is, how are you going to finish? And what you just went through should help you finish well. Paul was taken, scholars think, by Alexander, the guy he kicked out of church. Scholars think that Alexander is the betrayer that set up Paul, and Paul was arrested and taken and seconded there in Rome. And he was placed in the maritime prison. It was a real prison. Wasn't like his other prison experiences. This was a real prison. If you go to Rome, it's dark, it's holy. In other words, it's a big hole. It's really not a place you would want to spend time. He was in shackles, and the Bible says that that Paul knew. He writes about knowing that this was it for him. In fact, when he picked up his pen to pen 2 Timothy, when he laid it down, that is when in all of history, Paul's voice was silenced. Because he knew he was about to die. He was a dead man walking. He was walking the green mile, and he knew it. And chief in his mind was all these guys that didn't finish. That was deep in his soul. He had a team, and his team didn't all make it through. And you know, that was big on Jesus' mind, wasn't it? When he prayed a prayer, God, I pray that I won't lose any of them. Keep them. It was big on his prayer. And so he's about to write Timothy. And when he's writing Timothy with that in his mind, how many of you think if you're about to die, life is no longer very complicated? All the complexities and tensions that we deal with in our society, when you are sucking your last breath, you don't feel the complexity. Life is reduced And it becomes very simple and very focused. And when you read 2 Timothy chapter 4, you sense the intensity of what Paul is saying and the simplicity and clarity to Timothy. Because he did not want Timothy to not finish. In fact, he wanted him to fulfill his ministry. That's the phrase he used. He wanted him to finish well. To finish well. Now, I'm not going to read this, but four times in 2 Timothy 4, or 2 Timothy, which is a short letter, very short letter, four times Paul said this to Timothy, but not you, Timothy. Four times. And when it's repeated that many times, that's significant. He said, you know, this is happening around you, but Timothy, not you. If you want to finish well, you need a but not me list. If you want to finish well, you better start making yourself a but not me. Others can do that, but not me. I ain't going to do that. He wanted Timothy to have a but not you list, so he gave him the list. You read it. In fact, open your Bibles to 2 Timothy. We'll kind of walk through that and look at it. If I can find 2 Timothy. You know, you shouldn't use your phone Bible because you forget where all the books are. So 2 Timothy 2, 1, he says, you then, that's his first one, but not you, Timothy. Then he goes in chapter 3, he says, you, however. Then later on he says, but as for you. And then in verse 4 he goes, but not you, Timothy. And each time he's setting up what's happening in society, but he goes, Timothy, I want you to finish. So if you want to finish, you better have a not you list. I remember in my marriage when I looked at my wife and I said, I do. I knew this principle. And I made two vows to myself. As Pastor James would say, I spoke to myself. I told myself. And it was a but not you list. And the one but not you is I will never get bitter at my wife, ever. It's off the table. But not you, Kevin. Oh, no, no, no. She could get bitter. My kids could get bitter. Church could get bitter. The world could get bitter, but not you, Kevin. But not you, Kevin. And so Paul writes along and he gets to chapter 4. So look with me, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead in his appearing and his kingdom. Now stop right there. How many of you think that is like reaching here on Ricky with words and grabbing Ricky by the shirt collar and saying, Ricky, I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who's coming to judge the living and the dead. Notice he didn't say, and Christ Jesus, your redeemer, your friend. No, 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 no. He said, I charge you in the presence of Jesus Christ, who's coming to judge the living and the dead, his appearing in his kingdom. You know what he's saying? He's saying, Timothy, you're going to stand before Jesus real soon. And he will stand in front of you as judge. How many of you know that Timothy is probably listening? He's listening. He says, I charge you. Because Timothy, you're going to give an account very soon. And then he says this. He says, preach the word. Now, this is my only, this is my first point. I want you to say, preach the word.
Preach the word.
I want you to say it with them. Say, preach the word.
Preach the word.
So you guys got to be louder than that.
Preach the word.
Say it one more time. Say it loud.
Preach the word.
Now, everybody at the same time.
Preach the word.
Okay. So when I do this right now, that means you're going to preach the word. Now, this is the context of that. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Let me tell you what was happening. You know how you'll hear that the Bible is outdated and it really doesn't apply to... I mean, how could you run your life? This is actually said by a former person that said he was a Christian when he was talking to Oprah Winfrey. He goes, now in modern day society, you cannot possibly live your life based on a book that's 2,000 years old. Well, listen, I got to tell you something. It was already that way when Paul and Timothy were alive. This is meaning this. Preach the word regardless of what culture is like. If it's out of season or they don't like it, what are we going to do? Because it is the only thing that the world needs. And I can assure you, I am not resting on politics to save the world. I am not resting on religion to save the world. Religion right now is the single cause of most wars in the world today. It is single. I'm being forced to take an anthropology class and a master's degree. And they note that in the world today, there are two things that are causing wars. And number one is religion. Religion offers no hope. And as all of you just witnessed in this political cycle, how many of you are not betting the farm that everything's going to be great right now? But you know what? Don't bet the farm ever. In any nation of the world, the politics is going to save us. A righteous, just government, and the people rejoice. But right now, and in years past, that's tenuous. It's not cool in culture right now to preach the word. It's not cool. It's out of season, like a bad leisure suit. And when you walk out of here and you are empowered with all the word that you just got, listen to me, you are superstars in that world. And humanity never breaks. Sin does not break the human soul to be anything different than it hasn't already been. 2,000 years ago, sin broke the human soul the same way. That's why this is a stinking genius book. And that's why Paul could say, preach the word in season and out of season, and you are well equipped to deal with any issue. So when society doesn't like it, what are you going to do?
Preach the word.
When society loves it, what are you going to do?
Preach the word.
What is the only answer that is every marriage, what does every marriage need to hear? Preaching the word. What do your kids need to hear?
Preach the word.
When they go through puberty, what do they need to hear?
Preach the word.
When they're two-year-old demons in the nursery, what do they need to hear?
Preach the word.
Absolutely. Preach the word. I have resigned myself that all I really care about is how much I know about this. Hold it up to society and say, show me what we want to talk about. And they will point to the page, and they will point to the idea. Preach the word. Number one charge is preach the word. Now, how do you live as a Christian? Turn to Psalm 100, and I will end with this. Psalm 100. The final charge to you is this. Some scholars say that Psalm 100 was a processional psalm. Now, it's important to understand that they didn't go to church back in that day in the temple like we come. They didn't drive up on their chariots and horses, park them outside, and slowly walk in until the temple was full. Scholars tell us this, that they would amass outside as a community. So they would just get in this big horde, this mass of people. And then they would begin to sing a processional as they come into the church building to have church. And this, according to scholars, probably was one of those songs that they would sing as they come into the temple. So when you go out preaching the word, if you look like a whiny, sucky baby as a Christian all the time, you know what a whiny, sucky, is that kind of translate here? Whiny sucky baby. That's a person that looks like they're on the long end of a bad deal all the time. Are you tracking with me? No joy, no peace. You can't touch the peace of God in your life. You cannot feel the joy of the Lord. You can't find it in the stressful times. Renee and I are in a stressful time right now. My wife that's sitting in the back, she'll attest to this. Last night, we were talking about this principle. I said, in the middle of all the stress and pressures, I'm going to touch peace. I'm going to find the joy of the Lord. And that is a discipline.
That's right.
It is a discipline. So when you preach the word, how are you going to look and be when you preach that word? It's important to have a certain emotion behind you when you go out to deliver something. The Bible does three things. It changes the way you think, it changes the way you act, and it changes the way you feel. And most people stop and don't deal with their emotions. How many of you think that watching this political cycle, probably some of them could have used a little emotional therapy? Because grown men and women cannot handle, they have no self-control. Orthodoxy, orthopraxy, and orthopathos. Three things. That's how you're changed. Jesus is just as much interested in your emotions submitting to him as he is your brain and your actions.
That's right.
Because if you know everything and you tell everybody everything and you are jacked up emotionally, it does no good. You're still going to get a divorce. Your kids are still going to be screwed up. And that's all through the Bible. And so we talked about what to do. The what to do is we're going to do what? That's what to do. How are we going to do that? Psalm 100. They would amass outside. Now remember, they had all kinds of issues. They had the same issues we all walked in with. And they're massing outside. They got troubled teens. They got bad marriages. I know we read the Old Testament, we think, oh man, because they were Jews, they had great marriages. No. One school of the rabbis taught you can divorce your wife for any reason at all. The school of permitting. Then there was the school of binding in the New Testament. They probably got it right. No. They were jacked up individuals amassing outside. Jacked up. Screwed up. Couldn't touch the peace of God. Couldn't even find it. And they were forced to sing this. It says, serve or make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Would you say that with me? Serve the Lord with gladness. Would you say that again? Serve the Lord with gladness. I want you to kind of smile when you say that. Say, serve the Lord with gladness. Wake up your neighbor and then smile and say, serve the Lord with gladness. So it continues and it says this. Know that the Lord, he is good. How many of you need to hear that every single day? Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us and we're his. We're a people and sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness throughout the generations. I want you to say this, serve the Lord with gladness. I want you to say it, everybody.
Serve the Lord with gladness.
Now, Paul is my favorite example of this. Paul decides he's going to start a missionary journey. And he launches out in the book of Acts, and he thinks he knows what God is saying. How many of you thought you've known what God is saying in the past? Only to come and find out that you didn't know anything about what God was saying. And so Paul marshals his team and he goes, I think God is speaking to me. It's very clear. We're going to Asia. Let's go. And the Bible says this. When they got to Asia, the Spirit of Christ said, not here. How many of you ever got somewhere and you felt like God said no? And you were redirected. Redirected. Listen, when you walk out of here and you are serving God, and you think you hear him and you get there and it wasn't him, what are you going to do?
Preach the word.
No, you missed it. You're supposed to serve the Lord with gladness. See, that was a test. They all flunked. All that side just flunked. These guys, they don't care, but they flunked. Okay, let's try that again. So Paul goes out. I mean, this is a deep lesson to learn. Read through what happened to him. He goes out, and when you are in life and you think you hear God and you get there and nothing happens, he's not there, and it is a disaster. What are you going to still do?
Serve the Lord.
Exactly. So Paul looked at his team and goes, okay, not so much. Then he does it again. He says, okay, we got it. It's this place. And he goes, and you know what? It wasn't that place. And he goes to sleep. That's a great thing to do after you've missed it twice. Probably the best advice ever. He goes to sleep and he sees a guy from Macedonia calling him. And he gets up and he goes, guys, this has got to be God. Now, if I was on his team, I'd have said, not so much. And he goes, and listen, he goes to Philippi. When he gets to Philippi, he leads a rich woman to Jesus, Lydia. She comes to Christ. He invites her. He invites Paul in. And so great things start happening. Great things start happening. She brings him into his house. He stays there with her. And great things happen. And when you are doing the will of God, when you are serving the Lord and great things happen, what are you going to do? Exactly. Are you getting the point?
Yes.
If you get there and he's not there, your main job is to stay glad in him. Because the joy of the Lord is always your strength. And I promise you, that is a discipline. That is something that just doesn't roll into your soul. It's not like a rock that's hanging way up there and it's just going to roll into your soul. You don't get to peace and joy and gladness without work. But I promise you, if you do that work, your soul won't remain a wreck. And then he'll really bless you by lining up trouble. Because he knows you can handle trouble. And you will be worth your weight in platinum in a culture that is jacked up. But until he knows, you have circled your soul. And you have made a but not me list. I am not going to not be able to touch the joy of God. So I'm going to do like David. I'm going to tell my soul. I'm going to quiet it and tell it to shut up and sit down. And I'm going to serve him with gladness. See what this is? You preach the word, but you do it with gladness. Because sometimes you're going to preach the word and nothing is going to happen. And Christians get their feelings hurt and they quit preaching the word to themselves and to others. And they walk off because they don't do the deep emotional work and tell their soul, you are going to feel God in the middle of all of this horrible stuff that's going on. You will, soul. You will. I know I've said this story before, but I love to train. I trained my German Shepherd, and I realized one day my dog was trained better than my soul. Just train your soul. Amen. But you know what? Philippi, back at Philippi, things went bad real fast. Real bad. Real fast. They grabbed Paul. The Bible says they beat him and threw him in jail. Now, how many of you think that's a terrible, no good, very bad day? But you know, he sang a hymn. So sometimes when you're out doing the will of God, bad things happen. And when bad things happen, what are we going to do?
Serve the Lord with gladness.
We're going to do what?
Serve the Lord with gladness.
When bad things happen, you serve the Lord with gladness. They sang a hymn and God rocked it and got them out. Do the work. Be glad. Serve Him glad all the time. The reason we as the church sometimes are not attractive to the world is because they see when bad things happen to us, we act just like them. And that gives nobody any hope. When they see the division that now is deep in our country with ethnicities, if they can't find that here, tell me where they can find that. Bad things happen to Paul. Bad things happen to Paul. He leaves Philippi. He goes to Thessalonica. Bad things happen to Paul in Thessalonica. And then he goes to Berea. And the bad people of Thessalonica chased him to Berea and created bad things in Berea. But Paul didn't get bitter. He didn't get bitter. He served the Lord with gladness. Because sometimes you think you're doing the will of God. And you get there and He redirects you. Don't get bitter. Serve Him with gladness. You just joined the club of all Christians that have missed God throughout church history. You're going to land and good things are going to happen. In the middle of the good things, terrible things are going to happen to you.
That's right.
Terrible things. You're going to have Demas. You're going to have Alexander betray you. And you were sitting in a prison because of somebody else. Two things I charge you with. You don't need to learn anything cool. Forget the cultural cool stuff. If you want to be powerful, don't preach what Oprah preached. Preach what Jesus preaches. If you want to be profound, don't read Eckhart Tolle's book and drink the Kool-Aid. You drink this Kool-Aid.
Yes.
Get it deep and then show up in people's lives on the edges of our society where culture and people are hurting. You show up and you do what? Preach the word. And how are you going to do it? With what spirit? Serve the Lord with gladness, because those two things combined create a very powerful, powerful person. Great things happen, serve Him with gladness. Bad things happen, serve Him with gladness. When nothing happens, He went to Athens and preached if you got saved. He went to some cities and He shook the dust off His feet because nothing happened. But when nothing happens, you're going to do what? Serve the Lord with gladness. Because that's our job. And that's what makes us attractive. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for every student here that has spent time opening up Your word. That has worked hard to drive this deep in their soul. Jesus, may they never be pulled away by curiosities. May they never move to those that teach things with itching ears, that whole cool, edgy, new cultural psychobabble. Let us never buy that. Let us buy Your word and the profound nature of Your word. May that sear into their soul that Your scripture is sufficient for any ill that society may have. And secondly, Lord, would You train them in gladness? You don't want us just to serve You. You want us to serve You with gladness. May that be the mark on their life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for that.